This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up. Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearingly stuttering host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by a guy who, unlike Greg Roman, knows how to make adjustments, the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. I got some new buttons. It doesn't do much good, but I got some buttons here that now let me mess with the video stuff. Oh, so nice. I can do like stuff like that.
Oh, I thought maybe you had some manager hide buttons or...
No, I can do... I got some video buttons now, so I can do that. Nothing fancy. No, I will try to bring back some manager hide video... buttons and stuff like that. They're a little hard to do the way we do the podcast now remotely, so I got to figure out the best way to handle that, that it doesn't disrupt our conversation. Right. But this is the type of team that is due for some buttons to come back, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. I'm glad we're doing this thing on Monday. Well, I'm glad that the Ravens actually played on Thursday. So I had a few days to kind of settle down over what was kind of a bizarre and embarrassing loss.
Isn't it?
Dolphins. I'm glad this is not fresh in my mind. I've kind of gotten over it by this point.
Isn't football weird this year? How pretty much every good team has just a ridiculously embarrassing loss.
Yeah. Yeah, like, sure. I mean that the week before the Ravens, we saw a couple of them, right?
Where, yeah.
The Broncos, who re-solidified themselves as just a terrible football team this week, you know, beating up on the Broncos. We talked about the Bills losing to the Jaguars. Yeah,
I mean, Cowboys got shut out. And even this weekend, the Bucks lost to the Washington football team.
Yeah, it's true, Josh. I think this is the first time you've ever referred to that team as the Washington football team.
It might be. I caught myself.
Yeah, way to go.
Which, all right, help me out with this. The photo that's going around virally among Washington fans.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
So, all right. Okay. It's a photo of Taylor Heineke standing next to someone at the game holding a sign that says, "We don't need Tom Brady. We have Taylor Heineke."
Right.
All right. Stupid poster, that's whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my problem. The picture shows the guys in the stands holding the poster board with Taylor Heineke standing on the field. Next to him on the field, you know how they have the big walls where they put their advertising and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Is a giant Redskin logo. Huh. So I can't figure out why that logo is still there.
Like the word Redskin is on
there? No. Like the Indian side profile.
Oh.
Graphic.
Oh, yeah.
Logo that they had for years. So I'm not sure, like, does the Washington football team still have that logo up all throughout the stadium? Which seems odd. Or am I being spoofed and this is just a Photoshop going around the country?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to put it past Dan Snyder to change his name, but then not go through and do all the stuff like changing the decals in the stadium. Like, I want to put it past Dan Snyder to do that. But that would be for Dan Snyder, a lack of adjustments.
Right.
That's something that, again, Greg Roman has in common with Dan Snyder, where when you're faced with something to do that's obvious, you don't make the adjustment. You just keep on doing what you did before, even if you know it's wrong. So if the Ravens were still playing today, if it was like an extended game that just went over overtime, and there was no tie, if we played by not Najee Harris's rules for the Steelers, who was not aware of the fact that there were ties in the NFL, and if we were just kept on playing the game and we were still playing tonight, I think the Dolphins would continue to line up in that zero blitz front line defensive lineup, and Greg Roman would continue to either try to throw screens to Marquise Brown or do the same stuff he was doing without mixing it up at all. So I think Raven fans were right to be annoyed by Greg Roman.
Yeah.
It's weird, right, because Greg Roman did kind of redefine this offense, led the best Russian offense attack football has ever seen a couple years ago. And he does a lot of so many great things with how he uses Lamar and the running game. Yet it's also fair to say the guy needs to make better adjustments. I think both those things are fair. I'm not saying fire Greg Roman. I'm not saying it's the worst thing that ever happened to football. But I am saying that was frustrating, our lack of adjustments on Thursday night.
Oh, it's definitely frustrating. And it's frustrating. The defense is frustrating as well. And how many holes we have in this backfield.
I thought the defense played fine. I have no idea.
But it is frustrating, and I think the Ravens have gotten away with this whole "we suck, we suck, we suck." Oh, the fourth quarter, we take the lead and win the game.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen again.
And yeah, so did I. I think everyone expected it because that's been what the Ravens have done this year. And the lack of adjustments and the lack of running the game, running the ball. Normally, at least you run the ball, so by the fourth quarter, you've worn them down.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that.
I was okay with them passing the ball every time because the running was doing nothing. So I was okay with them.
But the passing plays weren't doing much either.
Well, the pass
plays. A lot of screens.
Even the announcers were calling, like, the middle of the field's open. Why aren't the Ravens going in the middle of the field? And there was that one nice slant over the middle to Bateman, which he made a great catch on. And, like, why they didn't do more stuff over the field, over the middle of the field that was open, I have no idea.
Yeah. No, it was frustrating. And frustrating that it's on Thursday Night Football. Frustrating that it's the Miami Dolphins. I got a lot of coworkers down here that if you're not a Bucs fan, you're a Dolphins fan.
Which, I see something dumb. I think the Dolphins are better than a lot of people think they are. I think the Dolphins are better than the record. They won 10 games last year, I think. Their defense is decent.
Do the Dolphins win if Tua doesn't come in?
Yeah, I think they do. I think it wasn't about the offense. It was just so bad. The defense and the Ravens' offense was so bad. I don't care. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick would have won that game. Tim Tebow probably would have won that game.
Yeah, so I talked trash before that game to coworkers, you know, apologizing in advance for the Lamar Jackson show that you're about to see.
Yeah.
Then I got greeted to a whole bunch of text messages after the game.
Good, as you should have.
And then I got greeted the next day to the crying Jordan meme.
Yeah.
But with his face on my picture of me in a Ravens jersey.
Nice.
So the coworkers hit me up the next day.
Good.
Rightfully so, because the Ravens were a complete embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. But then, you know, on the one hand, it doesn't matter. That game doesn't really matter. Like, this is about being – like, I'd rather that game happen now as opposed to, you know, in the playoffs. Like, this is something that we can learn from.
Yep.
I really don't even sweat it that much. I think we're still in first in our division, right? Like, we're still even in the first in our division. So.
Yeah, because the Steelers tied the Browns loss.
Yeah, the Browns got blown out.
And the Bengals had Bengals had the week off, had the bye.
Yeah, so we're still first ahead. I mean, you talk about embarrassing. Pittsburgh embarrassingly lost to the Lions. Can you imagine?
Well, a tie.
Having the Lions close to you.
A tie.
Yeah.
It's not a loss. They kissed each other after.
No, it's a loss.
It's not a win.
I consider it a loss. I mean, if you look at the column, Josh, it screws them as counts as a loss.
Oh, it totally screws them, yeah.
Pretty much because
it doesn't count as a win.
Might as well be a full game.
Right.
It's going to put them below us.
Correct. Yeah,
which
is
crazy, though, because people have been talking about the demise of the Steelers for so long. It's crazy that the Steelers are in second.
Yeah, well, that's just weird timing. The Steelers are not going to end. The Steelers are going to end this division at the bottom.
I don't know if that's true. So, I don't think the Browns are that good, and I don't think the Bengals are that good.
Yeah, I don't know. There hasn't been much interleague play yet, which is interesting. NFL's been pushing that to, like, late in the season.
Yeah, there's a lot
So we'll see what that happens.
Yep. Yeah, but it's going to be – I mean, next week you would think the Bears – I'm not going to say an easy win because you never know anymore. Put the Bears right there with the Dolphins. And then that's when, after that, you get interesting because then it gets Browns, Steelers, Browns. Then Cincinnati.
And remember, that Browns-Steeler-Browns stretch is weird because we have Browns-Steelers-Browns. The Browns have Ravens bye week, Ravens.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's weird for the Browns. Yeah.
So that second week is going to be really tough. How do you beat the Browns when they play you, see everything, have a bye week to prepare for you again? You have to innovate or something. You have to bring something different to them that second game.
Yeah.
Unless
that
you just
was a tough thing, too, about Thursday night. It's a short week. You're coming off of an intense game, versus the Vikings. So that went into overtime. So
right.
That, I think that also played into our
point. You're coming down to Miami. Maybe you're thinking about other things rather than how to beat the Dolphins.
Lamar Jackson.
Maybe you're thinking about coming home.
But Lamar Jackson was going to Louisville to
the next weekend. Yeah.
His jersey retiring. That was that. You know, it was, yeah.
Playing in Miami is basically coming back home for Lamar Jackson.
Oh, and for half the team. They showed a graphic of how many people are from that around that area in Florida. Like so, half the roster.
Right. So maybe you're not quite focused on beating the Dolphins. You're supposed to easily beat the Dolphins. Maybe you're not quite focused.
Yeah. But as you said, I mean, the Washington football team beat the Tampa Bay. Like, yep. This happens every single week. This is why.
Yeah, there's always a surprise.
Like, this Survivor pool seems like so easy. Okay, I can pick one game that.
I am so irritated with my Survivor pool because I got down to like 12 guys.
Yeah.
And I know better. I chose the Ravens. I know never to choose my own team because then they screw me in my bookie, they screw me in person, and they screw my fandom, and then they screw my Survivor pool.
Yeah.
I know better. I know better to the point that Thursday afternoon I looked at it and said I shouldn't take the Ravens, but I kept it at the Ravens and said, no, I got to get the Ravens out of the way so I'm not tempted to take them ever again.
Yeah,
I mean, and now they screwed me in my Survivor pool.
This seemed like the easiest game.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the rest of the schedule is concerned. Yeah.
That was my thought, and they screwed me. They knocked out, like, 7 guys in my Survivor pool. Just down to 5 guys, and I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I know between that and the Tampa Bay, I'm surprised anyone survived.
True. For those You're right. I didn't look to – I should check. Because Tampa Bay would have been another one, another obvious pick.
Yep.
Maybe everyone got knocked out of my Survivor pool last week. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. How's my Survivor pool doing? There are
the rest of the wins.
There are 5 people left.
All right.
So people went.
People started.
100.
Yeah. That's,
Survivor that's pool. 100 crazy. People. $40 buy-in. Winner gets it all.
Yeah.
So nice win. But yeah, Survivor pools are tough.
Yeah.
Because the NFL is crazy like this.
Yep. Yeah, that felt straight like this. All right, you want to get to some baseball?
Sure.
Let's start with the Orioles, then we can get to some more, you know, MLB news.
The award season for the MLB, as they stretch it out like every other day, let's announce another award so that it seems like people are talking about baseball when they really aren't.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking more about GM meetings and free agent signings.
Okay, we can do that.
The awards, too. But Cedric Mullins? Winner of the Silver Slugger, so that's a really cool honor for Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, yeah, and deservedly so. He's had a great season, career season.
Yep.
So, yeah, good. Congrats, Cedric Mullins. Good for you.
The other award news for the Orioles was Ryan Mountcastle finished 6th in the All-Star, in the Rookie of the Year voting. Josh, what are your thoughts on Ryan Mountcastle finishing 6th?
Fine. He got screwed with that April. April, he was complete crap. If he would have played the way he played the rest of the season in April, or even mediocre in April, he would have been in the top 3. 6, 10 points or whatever, some second place, some third place votes. Fine. Like we talked about before, it's a bigger, much bigger honor to be recognized by your peers rather than the newspaper people.
Yeah, I mean, Randy Arozarena finished 1st, which is, you know, not surprising at all. I mean,
but that's also because he got in the playoffs. The reporters weigh heavily on teams that get into the playoffs, it seems.
Well, and Arozarena was announced, I believe, as the Rookie of the Year in last year's postseason because he had a coming out party in last year's postseason. So he's someone everyone knew was on the radar. I think it's kind of silly that Ron DeFranco only played, you know, less than half a season or played half a season that's on there. I think it's a little silly. He was so high up.
But if you get that national coverage, that helps you a lot when reporters are just voting.
Yeah.
because you get reporters across the country voting that haven't seen Ryan Mountcastle play and just know that the Orioles are bad.
That's fair. I mean, it's really an interesting debate, right? Because depending on what numbers you look at, from just an average dude looking at most hits by a rookie, Ryan Mountcastle, most doubles by a rookie, Ryan Mountcastle was number four. Most home runs by a rookie, Ryan Mountcastle was number one. Most RBI by a rookie, Ryan Mountcastle was number one.
Yeah,
so you look at some of those stats and you're like, oh, well, clearly he is the best rookie.
Right, but he got a negative D war, be fair. Negative D war.
And then you look at war, and his war is 1.7, which does not put him, I mean, if you rank top rookies by war, he's all the way down at number 18. In fact, his own teammate, Ramon Urias, had a 2 war, a 2 B war, and Ryan Mountcastle had a 1.7 B war. And so Ramon Urias, according to just war, should have been ahead of Ryan Mountcastle in the rookie of the year voting. So it's not something just based on war, or Ryan Mountcastle wouldn't have been 6. So it's still, like, I think, clearly the players valued, you know, those kind of raw baseball numbers more, and maybe the writers valued some of the war numbers more. But it's interesting that he was 18th in war, yet finished 6th overall, and he was kind of at the top in those kind of major hitting categories that we look at.
Right.
He was lower on OBP. I know that hurt him a lot. He was higher on strikeouts, which hurt him a lot.
Yep.
But I think those numbers are like, you can make an argument, kind of say whatever you want to say. If you love Ryan Mountcastle, you point to those most hits, most home runs, most RBI, like, that's it. but if you're coming from the other side, yeah, you talk about war and you talk about, you know. But the other thing that's interesting about him is, Wander Franco is super young, but the rest of the guys are a little bit older. Like, he's 24 years old, Ryan Mountcastle is. A Rosarina, who won it, he's 26. This guy, Adolis Garcia, who was up there ahead of Ryan Mountcastle in voting, he's 28 years old. So a lot of these guys are, I think, a little bit older than Ryan Mountcastle, too. So that's good, too.
But that's a story. Outside of the award, the story is that Ryan Mountcastle, at 24 years old, has proven himself for this team. That Ryan Mountcastle is a guy who's going to be part of the Orioles for the next few seasons. And if he can build on this year, he's a pretty special guy that we've got on this team.
Yeah, I'm just, like, pulling up hitters. Rookie hitters this year. Do you know how many rookie hitters there were this year?
What's the minimum requirement? How many at-bats?
Well, I don't know.
Because, you know, you probably got some guy that made 2 appearances, 3 appearances. Does he count as a rookie?
Yeah.
All right. 200.
They were just here for a day.
200.
Yeah. There's 521.
Okay. All right. So that's definitely any appearance.
In fact, Bruce Zimmerman shows up on the hitting side and the pitching side as a rookie.
Okay.
I guess he got some hit. I have a couple of bats in the international, in the whatever. But 521 hitters. But some of those are pitchers who just had, like, a couple of bats. But to finish 6 out of 521. This kind of reminds me of, like, with teaching, especially this year. Oh, my gosh, Josh. Teaching this year, there's never been so much I've never seen in my life, so much grumbling and complaining from teachers. And a lot of it legitimate. Like, we have been more have been put on our plates this year than in years past. There's things that are, you know, not going well in the teaching profession currently. That's out of the teacher's control, but teachers are having to deal with it. But, like, there's a lot of grumbling, complaining about it. And sometimes I just, you know, just to fit in, I don't really think it. I like my job. I like the students I teach. But sometimes to fit in, I'll just grumble with everybody else. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These kids are the worst. And I'll just say it to try to fit in with the other teachers. And, like, you know, and sometimes even, like, I'll tell jokes that no one else gets but me. When I just go over top with the kids, like, you know, I'll just say, you know, yeah, that Charles, he told me right to my face, Dr. Sroka, you suck. And the teachers are like, he said that? And I was like, no, he didn't say that. But I could tell in his eyes, he was thinking that in his head, how much I suck. So I just, like, make stuff up just to try to fit in, because you're supposed to complain about kids and stuff when you're a teacher, I guess. And I feel like, but I'm like, I'm totally faking it because I don't feel like that. But sometimes I just do it to fit in or just to kind of make fun and have fun with it. But that's how I kind of feel about Ryan Mountcastle. He ranked as the sixth best rookie out of 521 rookies.
Yep.
And he's 24 years old. That has me excited. I feel a little bit like I'm supposed to complain about it.
That he wasn't top three, that he didn't win the whole thing.
He wasn't number one. So let me complain about it, even though I don't really mean it. I really am just excited that we have one of the top six best rookies in all of baseball. Like, that excites me. And it excites me that we had, you know, the rookie with the most home runs and RBI and hits. Like, that stuff excites me. And so I want to be upset. But any outrage I feel is just a fake outrage. I mean, what are we outraged that he got sixth and not third? I mean, who cares? I'm just happy that Ryan Mountcastle is a good baseball player and he's going to be with us for the next several years. Mm-hmm. And I saw someone, I think it was Matt Kremenzer, tweeted out, and I thought this was spot on, that somewhere Mike Elias is laughing and happy that Ryan Mountcastle didn't win Rookie of the Year. So in arbitration years, he doesn't need to deal with his being the Rookie of the Year as part of arbitration.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, but no one cares.
Mike this Glass is just like, care. All right, I went to Sports Clips yesterday to get my haircut because I figured it's Sunday, the Ravens aren't playing, I'm going to go get my haircut. And the Jags game was on.
Are you going to outdo my teaching analogy here? Let's see it.
Yeah, all right. So the Jags were on. And I was so reminded of Oriole fans because the Jags were on. And the Jags were playing really well yesterday where they had a chance to win at the end of the game.
Yeah, they were within like 6 points of the Colts. Yeah.
And the guy next to me, I've never seen this before, the guy next to me getting his haircut was yelling at the TV because he's a Jags fan and he wanted them to lose.
Draft pick?
Because he wants the draft pick.
Yeah. That's
so true. He's rooting for his team to lose.
Yeah.
And that's what the Oriole – when Oriole fans do that, it irritates me so much. Yeah. So it's like, oh, you want your team to be crappy so that one day they'll be good in the future? It's doesn't make any sense to tear down your own team.
Yeah. And that day and in baseball is even more ridiculous because you're rooting for a draft pick that you won't see for another 4 years.
That'll probably not work out.
That it has a good chance of not working out. Yeah. So it's, yeah. You want the guys on your team to play well. Yeah. That's more important because that's going to be part of the team that you're going to see the next 2, 3, 4 years before right. You see that rookie. Yeah.
But you're right. Just be happy that Ryan Mountcastle seems to be a player that turned out.
Yeah.
That's every major league day player.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think is fair too is. I mean, Rosarena, Franco, some of these other rookies, what you had around them are a lot of protection for those rookie hitters. Ryan Mountcastle had, you know, an average Trey Mancini hitter and not much else. And Cedric Mullins at the top lineup, but, you know, he wasn't protecting Ryan Mountcastle or anything. So, like, they had no reason to pitch to Ryan Mountcastle. So I think when you bring up Adley Rutschman, when some of these... You know, whoever steps up, I think there's going to be another good outfielder. I don't know who it is, whether it's Nystrom or Kyle Stowers. And as our lineup gets better, I think it'll just, you know, be all the better for Ryan Mountcastle. And I do. Like, I hope Ryan Mountcastle works on his plate discipline. I hope he strikes out less and walks more.
Yeah, of course.
And he very well could because he's still a young learning hitter.
Right. And like anything, you hope he can just build on this year and it not be a flash in the pan.
And to transition here, the people to help him build would be the hitting coaches.
Oh, yeah. Fuller. Yeah. Ryan Fuller, who was the double-A guy. So it kind of falls in line with my kind of theory of bringing the minor league guys up, minor league coaches up.
Yep. And they brought a guy from Minnesota called Matt
Borchschultz.
Borchschultz. The interesting thing, Josh, about both these guys
is the agent.
Their ages, how old they are.
Okay, I thought the interesting. All right, I was focused more on they're bringing in two guys to replace one guy that failed.
Also,
I thought that was interesting.
You know what's also interesting? I think this is true. I could be making this up, but this has to be true. They both have no major league coaching experience.
You are correct because the one guy came from the Bay Sox, the other guy came from the Twins Triple A team. So you're right.
How old they are? They're both the same age.
29.
No, they're both 31.
Oh, that's not close. 29, 31. That's basically the same thing. I've got the same concept. These are young guys. It's a problem when the coaches are younger than us. The players, I've accepted that I'm older than all the players. Well, but now I'm older than the GM and I'm older than the coaches.
Is it a problem when the coaches are younger than the players themselves?
No, because what it is, well, what it tells me is analytics. It tells me, if not analytics, at least computer simulated. These are guys who know how to take what the computer sees and turn it into real things. And that is totally going to be, you're going with younger coaches because you want coaches that have embraced the computers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just embraced it. I have no doubt that this Burkschult and Fuller are on the cutting edge with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever technology is out there to give their hitters an advantage.
Right, whatever, like that swing man, whatever it is, the swing track and stuff. These are guys that know that. You're not getting the old guys, because the old guys are going to go off the stuff that you've heard all the time. Keep the elbow up. Keep your swing level. They're going to go over that stuff. These guys are computer nerds, and they're going to analyze you that way and help you fix it based on what the computers say.
Yep.
They're just your conduits to the computers.
Yep, and I have no doubt they're going to tell, you know, encourage people to, you know, swing it. And I mean, the thing you wonder about, though, Josh, the thing you worry about, and yeah, I'm sure they'll be telling them to, you know, to get the ball in the air, go for line drives, get in the air. And, I mean, if you look at our minor leagues, our on-base percentage has gone up every year with this new coaching staff, so I think they're doing something right with on-base.
Right.
Also, they seem to be drafting, clearly going after drafting the college hitters who are high on OBP guys.
Yep.
But what concerns me a little bit, Josh, is this is not – these guys seem like development guys, right? Like,
they are.
Let me help you with your swing. Let me develop it. Let's go in the lab and work at your swing. I don't expect major leaguers to be tweaking their swings and working on their swings. I look at a hitting coach in the majors more as like, I don't know, like a mental coach, right? Like,
well, I think slump, haven't we talked and haven't we talked about it on here? And I think we talked about it on here months ago, maybe years ago. And then Ted Lasso focused on it on that show this past season about the importance of, like, a sports psychologist on your team.
Oh, yeah. It references Chris Davis. I think we talked about it
before. Yeah, to get that whole mental aspect. And I think a lot of times we look at those hitting coaches as guys are getting in their own heads. The hitting coach, the pitching coach are trying to get them back to those fundamentals. And I think that's where baseball has changed. Fuller, I was reading about the Orioles have – basically credit Fuller for revamping the hitting philosophy across the entire organization and what's important to the Orioles. So clearly having these guys at the top is twofold. It's one, to speak directly to those players, assuming it's now going to be young players even at the major league level. And two, having these guys at the top means they speak down to the guys in the minor leagues and tell them how to do their jobs and speak to that hitting philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, Fuller's title was hitting coach at Bowie, also hitting coordinator for the organization. Like, he was the hitting coordinator for the organization. Time will tell. I will say, I'm blanking his name now. Last year, we brought up the pitching coordinator for the Orioles.
Chris Holt?
Yeah, Chris Holt.
And we didn't work.
Our pitching coach.
Yeah.
Who was the pitching coordinator, because he's the Ryan Fuller of the pitching staff.
you're being a downer. You're bringing negativity. No. I have way more faith in Chris Fuller. Chris Fuller. Ryan Fuller. Who's Chris Fuller? Ryan Fuller is the hitting coach.
Ryan Fuller, yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I think it's time to reach out to Patrick Jones and see, kind of learn about what this hitting philosophy, organizational philosophy is, and see if we can get some in-depth learning about that this offseason. Because I would assume if he's really revamped it system-wide for the Orioles, it's going to be something that they want at the big league level that then is going all the way down. And that's why you bring him to the big league level. Because if all your minor leagues do one thing, and then when you get to the big leagues, you're saying, oh, well, these are big league players. They can do it. They can do it their own way. Then what are you preparing guys for? So I think it is important to have him at the major league level.
Yeah, I'm on the other end of it. I'm a little bit skeptical. I'd rather him work in the minors to develop it. And then once you get the majors, I feel like the tweaking is less than when you're in the minors.
It might be, but it's also when you're at the majors, the egos are much bigger.
Yep.
So if you really need to deal with this, like, I don't think Chris Davis would have listened to Fuller.
No. And listen, and I think, you think about the veterans on our team, a guy like Trey Mancini, here comes a guy who's my same age.
Yeah.
Talking, to tell him, a guy who's never done it at the professional level. I don't know if Fuller played minor league ball. I have no knowledge that he did. But certainly
Fuller played one season for the Diamondbacks, right?
I don't think he ever made the majors. Maybe their minor league team. I don't think he ever made the majors. And I don't think this Berkshire guy ever made the majors, too.
One season in the Diamondbacks organization.
Right. There we go.
There we go. So no.
You're going to come in and you're going to tell me, a guy who's never been to the show, a 31-year-old little kid who probably still,
But it's not. It's not that.
Every day.
But it's not that. That's not what he's saying. He's translating. He is translating. Here's what the computer says. Let me help you translate it to human. That's all he is.
What the major league hitters need.
He's the computer conduit.
Right. And is that what the major league hitters need?
I don't know. We see guys all the time. We see very few coaches and managers that made it in the big leagues. Because if you made it, you've got the money. You had the time in the league. You're ready for a break. It's very rare.
A lot of them have big league experience, Josh. A lot of them do have big league experience.
Okay. But they didn't make it in the big league. Who cares if you fall out in the minors because of some injuries or you play one season in the majors? It's not all about just making it to the show.
Right. But it's another thing, Josh, that if you don't make it to the show, but you kind of grind your way and earn people's respect as you go, you see very few 31-year-olds as coaches in the major leagues. You do. You see very few of them.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
All right. I mean, I hope it works out. I have no doubt that both Chris Holt and Ryan Fuller are super knowledgeable, and I'm happy they're in our organization. I do wonder, though, in those positions, you have a young manager in Manager Hyde or a guy who does not have a ton of experience a manager. I would think you would want to surround him with kind of smart veteran guys who have a lot of experience. That doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to matter to anybody. I mean, I'm a throwback. I like Buck Showalter. I mean, I like guys who have experience. I like Dusty Baker. I like guys who kind of been in the trenches for a while. Mike Elias seems none of that is of very much value. I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah. Now, Fuller came from a hit-in training facility, so he wasn't looking to get in the majors when he was hired or getting to pro ball. He was working at a company called Power in Training as an instructor and working with guys during the off season.
Yeah, I think Patrick Jones is a similar situation.
Yeah. So it's part of it is also the Orioles looking kind of outside pro ball for these guys who are considered experts in their field. And
the training aspect of things.
Specifically. And it's weird to bring in a 31-year-old into the organization. But I mean, I manage 49, 50 people at my company. Many of them are older than me.
Right.
It's not always about age. And it's,
I agree.
And it's like, yeah, maybe this kid didn't make it in the majors, but he's able to focus on the computers and understand the translation of all that, where he doesn't have the power, but he can make contact type thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and there's an argument to be made that, I mean, I feel as a high school teacher every year, I have a harder and harder time relating to my knucklehead students. And so maybe there is an advantage of being closer of age to a lot of your players that you can kind of relate to them more. And I think you can have conversations that are less involve less conflict, perhaps, because you can relate to them a little bit better. You're both out there watching Marvel movies. You can talk Ted Lasso together. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I saw the latest Marvel movie and I almost fell asleep 50 times during the movie. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't see that.
I wasn't
Fuller, when Fuller was first hired by the Orioles, there was a lot of talk with him about the whole coming from the private sector. And he shared that he likes the private sector because he gets to experiment more and try different weird things out to see if it works with players.
Yeah.
And he said, and that was one of the things why he came to the Orioles, is because they promised him he could still have those freedoms.
He could still get weird.
To get weird and try things out. So I want to know, kind of like, did he experiment with anything that really clicked and worked in Bowie that the Orioles then think he can bring to the big leagues?
Yeah. Well, the other good thing, the other kind of advantage he has is, I mean, I think, I'm just trying to think on top of my head. I think Trey Mancini is the oldest hitter on the team.
Yes.
He's the only one in his 30s. Everyone else is in their 20s. So.
Right.
And a lot of the roster, the coming years,
yeah,
is going to be from Bowie, right?
Like, yeah, sure.
Who he coached in Bowie, his passion the year before, is going to be, you know, a lot of players on that Orioles team this year and next year. So he's going to see a lot of his former players that he helped to get
sure
where they are.
And there's advantages to being young. He can definitely bond and be friends with those guys.
Yeah.
And then earn the trust that way.
Hopefully he thinks versus, he has more time. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if being single means bonding more or less with the guys.
Oh, but if I run a company, if I were on a baseball team, I would only hire single managers.
I think that might be more distracting. Why do you want him single? So he can go out in the clubs with the guys?
No, because he's all about baseball. I don't want him to have to go home to his wife, you know, anniversary.
But see, I don't know. That might be more grounded. That might have the guy more grounded and focused on his career versus a single guy who's more focused on going out with the 21-year-olds to the club.
No, I don't want that either. I want a guy who eats, sleeps the game. I'm just saying, as a husband and a guy who has two kids, I don't have enough free time. I want to be able to dedicate all of my time to the Orioles.
Well, yeah, I don't think that matters if you're married or you're single or whatever.
You don't think you have more free time if you're single?
I think I
maybe. You don't think people work more hours who are single?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. I think if you're single, maybe you aren't as focused as much and go out and party more.
No,
I think there's pluses and minuses of both jobs.
No, if you're single and you're dedicated to your job, you work more hours.
If you're dedicated to your job, but I think there's a lot of people who are not dedicated.
Do you think Ryan Fuller is not dedicated to his job with the Orioles?
I'm sure he is, but I don't know if it's because he's single. I think there's plenty of married people who are super dedicated to their job because that's what pays for their kids to have the life that they have.
I'm saying Ryan Fuller is dedicated, right? Point blank, he's dedicated.
Is he single? I don't even know.
If he's married and dedicated with 10 kids versus if he's single and dedicated, it's going to be a different amount of hours spent in the office.
Sure. I guess.
I have no doubt he's dedicated. I'm just saying, if he's dedicated without a spouse or kids, he can dedicate more of his free time to thinking about working with and focusing on baseball.
But I think he's married.
Well, that's a downgrade. Now, maybe Mike Elias can approach him, ask him if he's willing for a temporary separation with his wife while he focuses on this Magic Squad. Because I want Ryan Fuller, his full attention on being a consistent Austin Hayes and teaching Jemai Jones how to not suck offensively and working with Adley Rutschman to turn him into a Hall of Famer. I need Ryan Fuller to be there. Okay?
All right, I need
buying presents for the 6-month anniversary with his wife.
All right, I figured out why you like Ryan Fuller. I think we need Ryan Fuller on this show.
Okay.
I'm going to have to reach out.
Reach out.
Ryan Fuller graduated college.
Yes.
Ryan Fuller has a master's degree.
Okay.
Do you know what his master's degree is in?
I do. I have no idea what his master's degree is in.
What do you think a hitting coach's master degree would be in?
Kinesiology or something with the sciences, with baseball sciences. I don't know. I don't know what the majors are related to that. Physical sciences. I don't know.
According to his Twitter bio, he has a master's in education.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of coaches, that makes sense. A lot of coaches are educators, like teachers, and then also coach on the side, right? That's a lot of people get into coaching.
Right.
Teaching.
Right.
don't know if he has any teaching experience. Does it say he has teaching experience?
I don't know. I just went to his Twitter bio. I didn't look up his resume. Not exactly. I mean, I just did a quick Google to see if he was married, and I found a picture of him with a girl, and he's wearing a wedding ring, so I assumed it was his wife.
I'm
using Google as best I can.
That's fine. And I'm saying all this half in jest, but I'm also saying this. And I guess the kids matter. The kids, I guess, are more of a factor than the marriage, maybe. I don't know.
All right, hold on. I got Ryan Fuller's bio.
Okay. Hitting coach for the Baltimore Orioles, Ryan Fuller, his bio. Go ahead.
All right, he went to the University of Connecticut, graduated in 2012 with a degree in English.
Oh, I like this.
After graduation, he signed with the Diamondbacks as an undrafted free agent, spent 2012 with the Diamondbacks, hit 252. Played on the hot corner. Later, he earned his master's degree in education from the University of New Haven. He put his degree to work as a high school teacher, English teacher, from 2015 to 2019.
Oh.
So,
we have a lot in common.
You and Ryan Fuller should be friends.
We can talk Great Gatsby.
Yeah. Maybe you and his wife can be, maybe your wife and his wife can be friends.
Then we really could hit it off.
I don't know. They don't show that in Baseball Reference.
Okay. Yeah. Can we have Ryan Fuller here? Can he be part of our book club we're starting? We could invite him to be part of our book club.
Yeah.
I wonder if the book club is where Ryan Fuller's idea for the players, the players doing book clubs. I wonder if that was Ryan Fuller's idea. But no,
I don't know.
I appreciate, and it makes sense, right? English teacher, communicator, the ability to communicate. The part that doesn't make sense.
Doctor of English. You're like just trying to describe yourself and be like, yeah, that makes sense. He would be the hitting coach.
But yeah, it does. I mean, I'm not saying you could hire me today to be the hitting coach, but maybe you could. But I also felt like that's the analytics stuff. I feel like gets into a lot of the math stuff. Which traditionally the English people didn't mix well with the math people, and I would actually expect him more. I'm more surprised with the English degree. I'd be more expecting. That he was a math teacher, to be honest, or a physics teacher, as opposed to an English teacher. But I could see it. I mean, if Ryan Fuller could do it, I could do it.
I don't see any difference.
I should have been coaching baseball. Son of a gun. Missed opportunity.
Exactly.
Could be coaching the Orioles right now. Son of a gun. All right. I want to make a couple of notes of free agents. Josh, what are you looking up now? Are you still stalking Ryan Fuller?
Yeah, I'm stalking Ryan Fuller because he's an English teacher. I really think we need to get him on the show.
A high school English teacher turned baseball coach. Yeah. I feel like there's a story there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I was trying to stalk some Ryan Fuller. I'll reach out. I'll get him on.
Yeah. All right. You can get him on. Fair warning. Half my questions, if not all my questions, will be English teacher related, not hitting coach related.
But I like the idea of the book club. I like the idea of getting him to lead the book club.
Yeah, have him lead the book club. Or we can have him get some recommendations for our book club.
Okay.
Books to read.
All right.
If we ever do our Ball 4 again, I've been reading some books I could recommend too. No, they're not.
We can bring Ball 4 back today.
I want to make a couple of notes about free agency.
Okay. A slow start.
Oh, really? I mean, I guess so. I mean, I was surprised. There was a big signing today. The first signing of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, this is number 10 on Fangraphs. The 10th best player was signed. This is the second player, the top 50 that was signed. And that's Eduardo Rodriguez, former Oriole, who we traded for Andrew Miller. Signed with Detroit, 5 years, $77 million.
That's a really good deal.
Out after 2 years.
That's a good deal. I'd give him that.
Yeah.
Five years, 72 with an opt-out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Good job, Tigers.
Value of the deal is, I think, like $15.4 million, which seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like... we're all over the show with metaphors. The metaphor I will employ here is If you go down the cereal aisle, Josh, what's your favorite cereal going down the cereal aisle? Can we compare Free Agents to cereal?
All right. All right. I get Cinnamon Life.
Really?
Yeah. Is that like an old man choice?
That's like your best. I mean, Life cereal, I would put down as one of the worst cereals of all time.
No, I really like cinnamon Life.
That might be a little bit better.
I really like Cinnamon Life cereal. I mean, occasionally I like some Fruity Pebbles, something like that. Is that what you want me to pick, like the childish ones?
Yeah, but if I'm really Fruity Pebbles would be better. Like, I would put Fruity Pebbles, compared to Free Agents, I would put like Eduardo Rodriguez at like a Fruity Pebbles.
No.
You wouldn't put Fruity Pebbles?
No. Well, see, you got to see your ranking. I would put him more like a Fruit Loops type guy. Like, he's good, serviceable. He's not the star, but no one's going to say no to him.
Okay, I would very similar. I wrote down my cereal for Ed Rodriguez.
Okay.
Very similar. Frosted Flakes. Right? The same idea.
Yeah, same idea. It's like, yeah, it's not. I'm going to choose it over a whole 100 other cereals. It's not the top of the line.
But if I'm at home and there's Frosted Flakes or some weird cereal, I'm okay with eating Frosted Flakes. I'll take it.
Yeah. You don't complain about Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. I put Carlos Correa is our top free agent for me on the board.
Okay. So what's your top cereal?
Oh, there's one top cereal, and then there's everything else in my book.
Okay. What's your top cereal? Since you shut down mine.
Chocolate Lucky Charms. That's the greatest cereal ever invented.
Chocolate Lucky Charms.
Chocolate Lucky Charms.
I see. I was going to guess Lucky Charms, but I've never had Chocolate Lucky Charms.
I remember, Josh, the date was June 2017. I was sitting at home. No, this is before 2017. This is like 2013.
I like that you had a big... I prefer the idea that you had a big cereal revelation 4 years ago.
I'm watching. No, it's 2013.
Okay.
I'm watching the Conan O'Brien show. Conan O'Brien is heyday. This is before then. This is like 2008, probably.
Like NBC Conan O'Brien before he got lost on TBS.
Yeah, before he got lost on TBS.
All right.
And he said, I remember it was on his show. He said, you know what? He said, people send me products all the time. I get products. Conan O'Brien said, I get products every single week all the time. And never one time did I endorse or talk about anyone's product that they sent to me. He said, until today, someone dropped at my door, Chocolate Lucky Charms. And then he brought on the show and had to talk about how amazing it was. And then I saw that. I felt inspired. And I went to 10 grocery stores until I found it at a Publix. Chocolate Lucky Charms. Josh, they probably have it down there at Publix.
Of course you found it at a Publix. Publix is the greatest grocery store ever.
They didn't have it at Safeway. I don't know if the Safeway has it now, but Chocolate Lucky Charms.
And isn't Chocolate Lucky Charms, isn't that just Count Chocula?
No, Josh, it's not just Count Chocula.
It's chocolate and marshmallows. It's the same exact cereal.
No,
have you ever had Count Chocula?
It's Lucky Charms, but it's chocolate.
Count Chocula is fine.
I know what you're doing with it. It's not the same.
It's the same.
Anyway.
All right. Fine. My Carlos Correa is Cinnamon Life.
Okay. But see, what Michael Elias is looking for, like, this is my philosophy, too.
He's looking for the middle. He's looking for the Frosted Flakes.
No, he's not.
No, he's looking for the – no, you're right. He's not looking for the old reliables. He's looking for the Cheerios, the Corn Flakes, the stuff that, like, is always there.
I'm going with even below that, Josh.
Okay, you're going even lower?
Here's what I'm saying, Josh. He's
plain,
going for
to plain Cheerios.
No, even worse.
The ones you give little kids and no one really likes.
Yeah, not the Honey Nut, just the Cheerios.
Right, exactly. Not the Honey Nuts, just the plain ones.
Yeah, I'll go a step further. Shredded Wheat. That's what he's looking for. Shredded Wheat. Not frosted shredded wheat, just the shredded wheat.
All right,
something you feed to your grandmother. No,
I'll go with the – let's give them the mini shredded wheats. Because the shredded wheats, nobody wants. The mini shredded wheats, every now and then hits the right.
Yeah, but Josh, I don't think he wants.
Really?
I think this is what also he's looking for. Like, this is what I do in the grocery store. If something costs $5.
No, that's your analogy. He's not buying the Lucky Charms or the Fruit Loops. He's buying the Fruit Circles.
Right. Yeah,
you know, the store brand. He's buying the store brand cereals.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. So, like, if something costs $5
at
the grocery store, I'm not buying it. However, if there's a sign on a product that says that same product that was $5, you can buy one, get one free, but it costs $10, buy one, get one free. And I buy it. I buy it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I like the idea of getting one free.
That's BOGO. That's the Publix motto. You love Publix. It's always BOGO.
Yeah. That's what I love.
I'll bring home three bags of salad.
Two is the same price as you would if buying one. But I'm a sucker for it, and I go for it every time.
Oh, yeah. I'll bring home three bags of salad. I can only eat one in a week, but it was BOGO.
It's the principle of the thing. Yeah, if you're going to give me a free one, I'm going to buy that product.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's kind of what Michael Elias is looking for. He's more concerned about when he's looking at shredded wheat. He's only going to buy it if it's on sale or if he gets a good deal. The problem with it is when you go to the store in free agency baseball, there's, if we're calling, I forget, Rodriguez, if he is the Fruit Loops, there's 10 people wanting to buy the Fruit Loops. And so you're not getting no deal on the Fruit Loops, Mike.
Right. But I like your analogy of the off-brand. I like the off-brand analogy because what he's doing is the great pitcher is the Honey Nut Cheerios, but he's going to buy the Honey and Oats bag that looks exactly like Honey Nut Cheerios, go stick it in a big league uniform and be like, no one will know the difference.
Yeah. And that's how you get Matt Harvey.
Exactly. Or Matt Harvey would be more like you go and you buy the expired cereal that's on the end cap with the clearance sticker on it.
Oh, yeah. I always go for that, too.
Yeah, that's the Matt Harvey. That's the Matt Harvey shelf.
Yeah,
let's get something that expired.
All the way back, everything in this aisle where the bathrooms are that no one ever goes back.
Yeah. The little baskets. It's well past the sell-by date.
Yeah.
But you might still be able to use it.
It still could taste good. And even if it doesn't taste good, you're wasted, what, $1?
Like, exactly.
Yeah, it's worth the risk.
I don't worth the risk.
Oh, I do all the time.
Oh, I throw so much food away if it gets past the sell-by date.
Oh, really?
I'm like the New York Yankees going through my pantry.
Oh no. See, I'll eat it. I'll eat it even if it's past the due date.
I got a couple gallons of milk here for you.
Well, not milk. We don't do milk at our house.
Yeah, me either.
Did I say milk funny? My students today were making fun of me for the way I say milk. But
yes, I'm told I say milk and weird as well.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're saying milk.
No, come on down here. I get told every day I say something funny.
Yeah, well, my students here, we were going at it today. But anyway, I put creamer in my coffee this morning. The date
standard
was November 5th. 10 days, it's fine.
Not for creamer.
Uh-huh.
What, did you scoop out the lumps?
No, there was no chunk. That's where I can tell.
Okay. All right. That's pushing it a little bit. That's 10 days.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure Mike Elias is similar minded.
See, I'm the opposite. I get sketchy if it's like the day before.
Yeah.
So.
But the thing, Josh, about that Eduardo Rodriguez signing, it made me happy for a couple of reasons. First of all, yes, I wish the Orioles, like, this seems like a deal that the Orioles could have and should have.
Yes.
Whatever. It makes me a little bit happy that he left the Red Sox, which is always good.
Right.
He didn't sign with a big market team. He didn't go to the Yankees, to the Dodgers. He went to the Tigers. So he got out of the AL East.
But they're an up-and-coming team.
Yeah. But that's what the Orioles should be doing.
Yeah, they're on the same.
I'd rather these big free agents sign with up-and-coming teams than sign in the AL East.
Yeah, and I feel a lot like the Tigers are about a year ahead of the Orioles. Same kind of plan, path, and they're about a year ahead. They brought up their star rookies this year. We're going to bring them up next year. I feel like they're about a year ahead of us.
Yeah.
So,
Buster Olney got a lot of heat from Orioles fans today, or maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. He tweeted an article about the Pirates rebuild and about kind of how cool the Pirates rebuild and how well it's going. And Orioles fans were up in arms because they said, like, wait, Buster, you've been hating on the Orioles rebuild. Why are you embracing the Pittsburgh
rebuild? Orioles fans are so sensitive to Buster.
They are. And it makes me laugh for two reasons. One, because I wish Orioles fans were more critical of the rebuild. Like, why do we have to defend sucking? I don't know why Orioles fans
trust the process.
Why do we need to defend over 100 losses three straight years? Like, why is it my job to defend that? I'm not going to defend that on Twitter.
Correct.
But also, like, I get the frustration because Buster Olney doesn't get it. He's like, people responded to him, and he's like, well, other teams like the Athletics, and the Twins are able to And the Rays, of course, are able to compete most years, even you know, given being a small market team.
But they're not in the AL East.
Yeah, and what Mike Elias is doing, though, is trying to build a Rays, an Athletics-type organization where you don't need to rebuild every 3 or 4 or 5 years, right? The thing he's trying to build is something that's like the Athletics or Rays where they can be continuously good every single year. So, like, the thing you're complaining about it is the actual thing that Mike Elias is trying to do, and that's pretty frustrating. But again, yeah. I'm not going to get on Twitter and defend the Orioles for losing all these games.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I googled to see what the latest was. I googled Buesner only Orioles.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came up was Matthew Soroka.
Oh, why?
Because someone on Reddit 9 months ago took a tweet of you posting about Buesner only from February 19th, 2021, where you said, Buesner only, quote, says, I don't know where we've gotten to the point in a sport where you could basically check out 5, 6, 7 years and not be relevant and have it okay, unquote. So you posted this on Reddit. You posted this on Twitter. Someone took your Twitter thing, posted it to Reddit, and there are 488 upvotes and 245 comments on Reddit about your quote.
Is that legal?
I don't know. Somehow.
That's my property.
Somehow you got no traction on Twitter. You got 18 likes and 15 comments.
Yeah.
So a tiny bit of traction, but the thing blew up on Twitter and on Reddit 9 months ago.
And I didn't post it on Reddit.
No, you didn't post it on Reddit. I can't see who posted it. I'm trying to see. Reddit. Tiger Basket posted it.
But that's the other reason that I don't hate Buesner too much is because whenever I need some good Twitter interaction,
yeah, you go there.
I just quote Buesner because I listen to his podcast, and he always talks about the Orioles, talks trash about him.
Yeah.
So I just put a quote of Buesner trashing the Orioles, and I get a ton of Twitter traction. So that's another reason I don't hate on Buesner too much, because he keeps me relevant on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring ball four back next week.
All right. Yeah, we
actually we don't have anything special for Thanksgiving. Do we ever do we normally do a Thanksgiving episode, don't we?
We do, to say what we're thankful for in terms of sport.
Do we want to do that next week, or do we want to do it after Thanksgiving?
I don't care. I mean, I guess I don't know.
I don't know. You got a busy Thanksgiving week?
No.
Okay. All right.
I got people staying at our house, so like the room I'm recording in would be occupied all next week.
That's fine. We'll go record over mom and dad's.
Yeah, so as long as
I'll be up there.
Record.
Yeah.
I have off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from school.
All right. I got to talk to Bert about we talked about doing some special recordings, putting some in the can that week. I'll talk to Bert about that. All right. I guess let's do our thing. We'll do our Thanksgiving episode on next week, Monday. Okay. Monday or Tuesday.
The other news that's going to happen, Josh, prior to Monday is on November 20th, the Orioles need to protect their Rule 5 guys. So we really get into it, but the D.L. Halls, the Kyle Bradishes, the Kevin Smiths, the Vespi's been making some rounds recently.
Because he had like one great inning.
Yeah. And I don't know if the Orioles will protect Vespi, but I think people will be upset now if they don't.
Right, based on one inning in the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Yeah, so I think next week we'll talk about who the Orioles protected and who the Orioles did protect, which will be interesting.
Got to get some turkey gobbles ready for next week's episode.
Oh, yeah, we'll have some gobble gobble. That's a different turkey gobble gobble.
Yeah, because it's a real turkey versus I have like that cartoon turkey I normally use.
Okay. I'm glad we got to think about it. I know there's been rumors of turkey shortages, so I'm glad that we still have our turkey.
All right. There's definitely turkey shortages down here. They have signs all over the grocery store. One turkey per person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So no turkey hoarding this year.
Okay. Well, I know some people over in the Eastern Shore who grows turkeys, so I can just...
They grow turkeys straight out of the ground. They just come on up.
Yeah. Well, they raise and they grow them.
All right, so next week's our Thanksgiving episode. After that, hopefully some special episodes as we continue to get through the off season.
That's right, and maybe some Orioles news to talk about at some point. We shall see.
Yeah, can't wait.
Huh? Well, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Reddit.
iTunes.
Reddit steal Matt's stuff and put it on Reddit.
Yeah, you can steal my tweets on Reddit. I really don't care. I'm going to go check that out. Am I too late to comment on it? I'm going to start comment on that Reddit.
I mean, it's 9 months ago. I don't see why you can't go in and comment now.
Yeah, I might make some comments about it. But yeah, check me out on Twitter for all my Buster Olney hot takes or Buster Olney quotes. You can follow me on Twitter at Section336. You can also follow Josh on Twitter
at Section336. No, that's not my Twitter. At Josh Stroka is my Twitter. Why did I give you out your Twitter?
Thanks for listening, boys and girls.
I was trying to check the reviews to make sure we didn't get iTunes.
No new reviews?
The last review is trashing the guy who won't give me the PS5.
Oh, yeah. All right.
No new update there, except that he just tried to call me a minute ago, and I hit decline.
Oh, maybe some news for next week.
Yeah, I guess I should have answered it on the podcast.
Yeah, a little speakerphone action.
So,
but go ahead and write us a new iTunes review, so that's not our latest one. Yeah, and thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's and go Ravens.
All right, and we are the Panthers, and we run this town.